Symposium panel. We have two speakers on today's panel, Oleg Yuryevich Goncharov and Havana. Oleg representing the Russian Federation and Havana's Armenia.
Is there anything else I can do?
Mic check. Mic check. Testing mic 1, 2. This is relay. Oh, this, okay. Relay, 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 relay. Relay, relay. You have to listen to it, Jake. Can you hear me, Jake? Can you hear me now? We're good? Okay.
Okay, this translation. So I would like to tell you what is going on in Russia. You have seen this slide. There was no translation. It's a bridge in Vladivostok that has been built in Vladivostok. And it is a symbol of building a good relationship between states and religion entities in Russia. On this diagram, you can see approximate number of religious organizations in Russia. There were 26,000 religious organizations. Out of them, are approximately 15,000 Russian Orthodox, 4,700 Muslim, and 4,600 Protestant organizations, including your church that is so hospitable to us all. Using this opportunity, I would like to express my astonishment by this symposium, by this university. And of course, I will tell my people in Russia about this and the rest 1,700. That's how it looks on a pie chart. You can see that the vast majority of religious organizations belong to the Russian Orthodox Church, Russian legislature concerning religious freedom says of equality of different religious organizations in front of the law, and a separation of state and religion. Our legislature considers of two forms of religious organizations: religious organization and religious group. A religious organization is registered by the Ministry of Justice and has different benefits for religious groups. There's some tax incentives when it comes to land around the temple and things that they use for their rites, and also special discounts for water, gas, etc. Religious groups can work without registration, but then there's no benefits for registration of new religious organizations. They have to prove that they're acting in the Russian Federation for the last 15 years. But today in Russian Parliament, this question is being revisited. Perhaps this provision will be eliminated. Government respects work of religious organizations in Russia. Our law allows different religions to hire and fire workers using their own bylaws. Our laws also protect religious organizations when it comes to secular society. If you insult believers when they're conducting ceremonies, or you break the holy sites, there's civil and liberty and various punishments. There are various problems that carry in that system a character. I think these are local problems that arise in various regions. For example, registration of different organizations. And it comes to new organizations, for example, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and not so often for Protestant organizations. Regional bodies show extreme scrutiny to organizations when registering these organizations. There are local problems when it comes to allotting lands to building temples and churches. And not everyone is lucky to build their buildings, but these are local problems. There are blasphemy towards religious organizations in regional mass media, but it comes towards it affects new religions into Russia. To solve these problems on federal level, there have been created several organizations.
First of all, it's a council with the president of Russia. You could see on the picture representatives of very different religious organizations in Russia: Protestants, Jews, many religions. There are also representatives of scientific community and administration of the president. Sergei Ivanov, chairman of the council, is part of the administration of the president. Members of the council are constantly being invited to different meetings in Kremlin. This council has been called to advise the president in issues of government policies. Also, the Russian Federation government has a commission for questions of religious associations. and it helps with all the problems which come in the functioning of those organizations. It is a very high level because meetings of this commission are held when with representatives of different groups and communities. This was a picture of the chairman. It's a very high level politician. Committee of State Duma also helps with practical issues of activities of religious organizations. We, in the course of making decisions, they consider the opinion of those representatives. The Public Chamber of Russian Federation also has a committee with representatives of different religious organizations. They deal with the problems that religious organizations present and consider different opinions in making their decisions. So on federal level, we think that there is a lot of attention paid to our the opinions and to the problem. In the area of all Russia, there are 85 different counties, and they have their own councils, and they invite different advisors to work with them, but unfortunately they're separated. They don't communicate well with each other. We don't have enough professional counsel and professionals of different kind to help them with their function. So the bureaucracy, which functions on that level in regions, don't take into consideration the official opinions of professionals, but they mostly listen to their local clergy, and we face a serious problem in those situations. So there is also a lot, I want to talk about interconfession committee and how the dialogue is going on. We do have this committee which includes major religions, Russian Orthodox, Buddhists, Muslims, and we also have advisory board of the leaders of the Protestant churches in Russia. I'm the chairman of that particular advisory board. In those advisory boards, we discuss problems that are mutual and which we all face. And we address the problems that have to be of our interaction with the government. We also created a Council of the Russian Association of the Religion Freedom. I am a general director of that advisory board. A Russian Orthodox Church initiated the organization of that council, and Muslims and Buddhists and Judaists, Armenian Church, they all, Lutherans, Seventh-day Adventists, Pentecost, and Baptist Church, they all participate in it. We also invite people who are protectors of human rights. What do we need it for? We monitor how the laws of freedom of conscience are practiced in different areas. We collect data on human rights actions towards the human rights and violations. We deal with different government organizations if there are any incidents of violation of human rights and rights of conscience and freedom of consciousness. We participate in legislature when they deal with issues of freedom of religion and freedom of consciousness. In Russia, we have a unique model of inter-religious interactions. We have very friendly relationship with big confessions, and we think we're doing very well. At the same time, in the society, in public, any statements of hate and religious issues can spark very strong conflicts. So we invite organizations which share our views to help us with interaction with in the public sphere. We have we make decisions based on mutual respect and confession and respect between confessions. Our association of religious freedom has to be politically neutral. It does not participate in any political projects and doesn't support particular politicians. Our goal is to maintain and support in the whole, in Russia sphere and even European, to maintaining the defense of rights of the freedom of religion. And we try to focus on separation religion and state. We are very concerned as religious organizations about the cases of pressure that we feel from secular society. Society is trying to influence their norms of behavior on our members and our confessions. We think that everybody has a right to present and live according their own faith, and this is a priority for our organization and in Russia and abroad. Thank you very much. Yes, that was English.
history overview, so in order to understand the current situation in Armenia, and then I'll switch to the current situation and the basic problems what we have in Armenia connected with the state, with laws, and etc. So this is national bread, lavash it's called. The guys is holding this, so it's a very interesting way it's, people make this. So if you know, many people ask me, so the Armenia has a very long history. So we have basically four dynasties. And when we have in 1918, 22 years, Armenia, first Armenia state we call, and the second Armenia state is basically the Soviet state, it's 70 years. And after the collapse of Soviet, we have the nowadays Armenia state, which is the third Armenia state, as we call it. So between this period when we didn't have a statehood, the Armenian Apostolic Church basically took the advantage and it took the governance and the regulation of the social life of the Armenian people. And so this is why I am emphasizing this, because this is directly connected to the nowadays situation in Armenia and many arguments based on the historical perspective. So this is a map for the four or five centuries. Armenia was a big then, so it has about 300,000 kilometer squares, and now we have the 10% of this is the 29,800 kilometers. And many of you asked me during the private talk, so here we have the Nagorno-Karabakh, which is an enclave, and there is a basically this is the there was war with Azerbaijan for this, and still it is a frozen conflict, one of the frozen conflicts in the world. The Armenia before the adopting Christianity was a pagan state, so the paganism was very, very strong in Armenia, and till nowadays, surprisingly, many festivals and feasts which were adopted by Christianity and adapted by Christianity has the paganistic rules. So this was one of the ways how the Christianity went into the Armenian social life. And the first apostles of Armenia are considered the apostles of Christ, Thaddeus and Bartholomeus. And after the preaching of apostles, about 250 years after their preaching, Armenia was the first state in the world adopting Christianity as the state religion. And in 2001, we celebrated 1,700 years of adoption of Christianity as state religion, and it was recognized by all over the world, and all the Christians and Roman Pope visited Armenia on this event. So the first person with whom it is connected the name, it was Grigori the Illuminator. He is a holy person adopted by almost all the branches of Christianity. And Tertatus the Great, the king of Armenia, they were fighting against the paganism and they adopting Christianity as a state religion. So basically this is the pagan god, the statue of the pagan god Anahit, god of fertility and motherhood, which is, this statue is in a British museum nowadays. And on the other side you can see a monastery and the Mount Ararat, biblical Mount Ararat. So in this monastery basically there is a legend that Grigori the Illuminator was kept for 13 years. So there is a huge hole there, and where he was kept. So after being tortured for 13 years, so he was released, and when he started to preach the Christianity. The Armenian alphabet is the Armenian language is a branch of Indo-European group of languages. It was founded in 405 by Mesrop Mashtots, and one of the oldest alphabets, if I can say. The only remain pagan temple, so after the adoption of the Christianity, the Grigori the Illuminator with the king, they started to destroy the Christian temples, and this is the only Christian temple, pagan temple, remained in Armenia, the first century. So it was reconstructed after an earthquake, but they didn't destroy this, and there are scientific questions why they didn't destroy this one. This is denoted to the god of sun. Holy C.H. Miadzin Church in Armenia, which is the basic center of Armenian Christianity, Minister didn't accept the decisions of Chalcedon Council in 451, and so the division happened after that. It was mostly connected with the political situation of that time between the Persia and Byzantium, but they based it on the dogmatic differences. So Armenian Church does not belong to this iconophilic or iconoclastic branches. Armenian Church has this dogma on respecting of icons. That's why you will see in Armenian churches not so many icons, not so many paintings as you will meet that in Catholic or Orthodox churches. So, and accordingly, Armenian Church rejected the dogma on filioque, which was the basic difference, dogmatic difference of division between the Orthodox and Catholic churches. So nowadays, Armenian Church has three centers. The first center is in Eshmiadzin, which is nowadays in Armenia. The second center is in Lebanon, Antilles. It's Great House of Kilikia. So basically, Armenian Church has two catholicoses. The second center was established after the Armenian genocide in Turkey in 1915. So they moved to Lebanon and they based their re-established their church center there. And we have the Armenian Catholic Osset in Lebanon, which is the mostly Catholic Armenians. This is the picture from Lebanon, from the Antilles, and they have a very, very nice and very old collection of Bibles and scriptures there. So the current situation in Armenia, coming back from the history to the current situation in Armenia, Armenia faced to the same problems and challenges of the post-Soviet situation, so as many other countries of the post-Soviet space. So, but even before the independence, just in the process of the becoming independent, Armenia was one of the first laws which was adopted by the Armenian parliament. This was the law on the freedom of conscience. So later on, it was changed in 1997, and it's now called law on freedom of conscience and religious organizations. So more than 60 religious organizations are registered in Armenia. Basically the population is mostly living there are Armenians. We have very few Muslim community. They are mostly Iranians who are coming for educating in Armenian institutions, in the medical university and engineering university. And we have a old mosque in the center of the Yerevan. So we have different other communities, but mostly they are Protestant denominations, especially Pentecostal denominations. And we are growing quite fast. One of the recent churches opened in Armenia is the biggest church was opened in Armenia with more than 5,000 seats, and they are doing their liturgy and they are worshiping like 2-3 times in a week in order to fit all the members of the church. So church state before the 1995, Armenia was basically governed by the constitutional laws or Soviet laws. So in 1995, there was adopted a constitution of Armenia. Basically, the model of the constitution was a French model. So, and there was indicated church-state separation in the constitution. In 2005, it is interestingly that during this period, for 10 years, the Armenian Apostolic Church could gain some authority and power and could become in a close relationship with the authorities. So in constitution change in 2005, there was adopted this clause which wasn't in the constitution before. So by this clause, Armenian state recognizes the exclusive historical mission of the Armenian Apostolic Holy Church as a national church in the spiritual life, development of the national culture, and preservation of the national identity of the people of Armenia. Freedom of activities for all religious organizations in accordance with the law shall be guaranteed in the Republic of Armenia. And the relations Republic of Armenia and Armenian Apostolic Holy Church may be regulated by the law. And after that was adopted a law which of the Baptists, what is that? So, but it is a tradition, they go and do that tradition. Talking about the level of religiosity is quite hard. It's quite hard from different senses because from one side there wasn't too much research is done on this topic. The only quantitative data which we have about the number of the followers of religion, it's the census implemented in 2011, which contains a question on the religious belonging of the population, which actually does not reflect the real situation in Armenia, because personally me involved in the research, different researches, I know that this census wasn't done so professionally, and the people who were doing that, so they were not too professional, and the analysis of the data showed that. Thank you. After going to there is a subject. I'll be a little bit quick. So there is a subject nowadays taught in public schools of Armenia, which called firstly the subject was called History of Religions, which was okay. So we were talking about different religions, but later on, after changing the or adopting the changes in the constitution, this subject turned to Armenian church history subject, which raised a lot of questions among the civil society members and among the religious minority members. And also there is mostly the argument for this subject is the was the religious and national identification, as I was told, as even written in the constitution, that the Armenian church was a basic maintainer of the Armenian identity, and so it has the right to teach the subjects in Armenia. There is also a huge debate and about the public spaces and about the spaces, because the church tries to gain the spaces which is lost during the Soviet time. And one of these spaces was is here, is in the very center of the Yerevan. So it was a linguistic institute of the Academy of Science, which was destroyed and was constructed this church there. The old one was there for centuries. Now they construct this new church there, and it was recently opened there, which was a lot of debate. Also, church wanted to gain some other territories, but due to the very, very high protest of civil activists, so they freeze this process at the moment to gain new territories there. We have a lot of challenges connected with the religious minorities. The basic challenge was connected with the Jehovah's Witnesses not serving in the army. So and after that they adopted a new law on the alternative service. But before that, some of the Jehovah's Witnesses were accused in the courts, and they could gain this in the European Court of Human Rights. So, and one of them, Bayatian versus Armenia, will become a precedental case, which is used now in Europe. So, another problem is mostly with the mass media. One of the religious organizations, the highest growing, as I told, the Word of Life, went into the court against one of the Daily, which published offending materials towards the church. And so, this case also went, now it's in European Court of the Human Rights. So the most of the things which religious minorities, they are not satisfied is the mass media, which spreads a lot of false information about them, and it causes a lot of problems for them later on. The term of the sect, the proselytism, these are new problems which is in Armenia. And two more words about new draft laws. Recently in Armenia there is a huge process of adopting the new law on religious minorities, and there were some draft laws. Most of them were given a negative opinion by the Venice Commission. Even some of them were ridiculous. Some of them even tried to define what is Christianity, and even went into the theological sphere, which is it's totally different. So one of them even was telling what kind of organization can be considered as a Christian organization, which is totally questions, but we have this problem. So some more images, and I'm over. So this is the end. This is a church which we did with our students, a pilgrimage there. It's north of Iran. It's a church where Apostle Saint Thaddeus is buried, according to tradition. This is a church in Iran, also in the north of Iran, Armenian church. This is in the north of Armenia, very old monastery there. It's a Lake Sevan with the monastery. And recently the oldest show was found in Armenia as an archaeological. It was very interesting. So, and a view from Yerevan. Thank you very much.
All right. This is the time to ask questions. So we have a microphone over here. If you have a question, please stand, state your name. We'll bring the microphone to you. And that way, if we need to interpret, we can do so. Okay.
This is such a small room. I don't know if you need to stand, but I will anyway. My name is Brent Belknap. I'm area legal counsel for the church in Moscow. This question is directed to both of our panelists. Yesterday, one of our speakers, whose name I forget, had mentioned that with respect to what is he termed the Orthodox Christian space, that issues of religious pluralism seem to face some sort of historic difficulty. You've both spoken about various conflicts within Russia and Armenia concerning religious minorities. Mr. Goncharov was very positive in speaking about the accessibility to society for various religious groups to practice their faith in an open way. Professor Hovhannissian has mentioned maybe some of the struggles or the difficulties with specific religious minorities. I'm curious to hear your views, either one of you, about your perception of following on the speaker yesterday, his comment. I hope you heard it. His comment about difficulties of religious pluralism in traditional Orthodox Christian countries and how minority religions may continue to develop and also contribute to society generally in while being able to practice their own religious convictions. Thank you.
I could answer your question concerning the religious minorities in Russia. I already said that their problems are local. Russia is a huge country. It's even more larger than the United States. And we have many different areas in Russia with big distances between them. You fly from Moscow to Vladivostok, far east, it's 9 hours. So you can imagine the vast territories of our country. So characteristics as Russia as a whole is very difficult. We can talk about different problems of religious organizations, but not in a country as a whole, unfortunately. So if you're talking about Russia as a whole, that religious minorities have problems in their functions, is going to be wrong, or say that they don't have problems is going to be wrong as well, in my view, because of a very different picture we see in different regions. Some areas really don't experience any problems, and some areas experience complex problems and difficulties. So I did talk about the fact that Russian government gives support to religious minorities in their organizations, but we lack specialists who could be invited to testify in courts and etc. And in faraway areas, bureaucrats a lot of times make decisions based not on the laws of Russia, but on opinions of a local clergy, depending on which religion is dominant there. This is really where the root of the problem is. And I was trying to present a picture of how exactly we're trying to solve these problems and how we're creating different councils, and we see a lot of success in addressing those problems. We have a good law center who are specialists in those areas, and they give legal support to religious organizations, minority religious organizations. This is my answer. Thank you.
Are
some of the draft laws, one of them especially, and which was quite challenging. It was presented by a member of parliament who is nowadays the Minister of Education, and he has a quite close relationship with Armenian Apostolic Church. This is very challenging for the nowadays situation. And he proposed the law which I told, which tries to define what is Christianity, and basically the analysis of that and showed that it was somehow directed against the Jehovah's Witnesses, because, like, for example, one of the clauses there, the Christianity is that is the religion which is worshipping the Holy Trinity. So everybody knows that Jehovah's Witness does not accept the Holy Trinity and so on. And the other, I will not go far into this draft law, but the other says there are some challenges as well. One of the basic challenges which pointed and the representative of religious organizations, minority groups, this was the number of the religious organization which can be registered. So they put in the draft law that religious organization can be registered, it says minimum 200 members. So why this number was defined, there was no argument on this. So the number went to 50 people, and now it's stuck on the 50 people. But even 50, there is no argument why 50, why 200, why 10, why 3. So there is no argument for this, really, basically. So we took some examples on European laws on some different places, and they basically saying there is such kind of experience abroad. Another basic, one of the basic challenges containing in this draft laws is the charitable activities of the religious organizations. The draft laws try somehow to supervise, to regulate the charitable activities of the religious minority groups. It says religious organization, but everybody knows, but it will affect mostly to religious minorities, because the majority religion is exempt from taxes, which is comparing to the Georgian situation. Georgia gains direct money from the state budget. Armenian church does not get direct money from the state budget, but it has the privileges, as the Georgian church, by the way, it has the privileges in the taxes. When priests go on service, for example, abroad, and he comes back, so his furniture, cars, and so on, are exempt from taxes. So it is a direct privilege. The other religious organizations, they don't enjoy this right. So these are the basic challenges for nowadays. So, and this is in the process of discussion.
I also will try to answer Elizabeth's question. I not just observed the legislature in Russia for the last 15 years, but I participate in legislature process as a member and even chairman of some of those organizations I mentioned. I think legally we do not have any privileges to any religious organization in our laws towards any religion. The problems we see are in the sphere of how these laws are applied, if they are applied in the right way, and that's our main work. We do need a good legal support in each of our organizations, so that our priests know how to protect themselves. They need to know the laws. But I don't see any tendencies in the Russian government to change the laws in a worse way in terms of rights of religious minorities. Russia is a country of many nationalities and many religious groups and Russia does understand that if they will start, Russian government understands, I think, that if they will give some limitations on some groups, it will cause lots of problems in the country. It already happened, and they don't want any extra problems. So I think the Russian government is very careful in addressing this issue. I am a pastor in the Church of Seventh-day Adventists. We are a minority. We have just 586 organizations all over Russia. But when we have a problem this year, it was the problem was that state exams were scheduled on Saturday, and we appealed to the Russian government. Ministry of Education signed a special act that which would allow to miss the exam based on the religious basis. And we're given a right to take an exam on another day. But in one of the areas in Belgorod, local bureaucracy did ignore that law and did not allow our students to miss the test. We did solve this problem by appealing to the higher authorities, and that's a very typical situation in Russia. Thank you.